Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for October 5th, 2010. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Dirk Hermann, a researcher at the University Hospital Essen. A new study from his group describes findings about a signaling pathway that regulates two of the transporters that form part of the blood-brain barrier. The blood-brain barrier protects the brain by preventing toxins that may be present in the bloodstream from entering the brain and by actively transporting toxins out of the brain. Although the blood-brain barrier's biological role is to protect the brain, it can also impede the passage of therapeutic drugs from the bloodstream into the brain. In this respect, it can hinder treatment of neurological disorders such as epilepsy or conditions such as stroke, in which fast intervention can have a major impact on limiting brain damage. In this week's issue of Science Signaling, El Ali and Hermann report that apolipoprotein E signaling affects the abundance of two of the transporter proteins that move compounds between the brain and the bloodstream. I asked Dr. Hermann how selective the blood-brain barrier is and how it distinguishes between compounds that should be allowed into the brain and those that should be kept out.
There are two major factors actually influencing whether a molecule is able to cross the blood-brain barrier. The first is its size, and the second its lipophilicity. Hydrophilic molecules hardly cross the blood-brain barrier unless they are very small, typically below 600 to 800 Daltons. Lipophilic molecules are better capable of passing the blood-brain barrier, yet not without encountering a specialized shuttle system aiming at eliminating them from the brain. The blood-brain barrier has a relatively low substrate specificity.
And by having a relatively low substrate specificity, what do you mean by that?
It actually means that it does not distinguish too much between the actual molecules and the chemical feature of the molecules. It means that the ability of letting molecules pass or not pass depends more on lipophilicity and also the size. So these are not very specific features.
Physically, what is the blood-brain barrier? What does it look like? Is it formed from cells of the blood vessels or is it formed from cells of the brain?
The blood-brain barrier is formed by endothelial cells that are attached with each other by a specialized contact, the tight junctions. The blood-brain barrier is not only a passive diffusion barrier, however, it is complemented by ATP-dependent transporters belonging to the ABC transporter family that are localized on the surface of the endothelial cells. These transporters actively remove molecules, including pharmacological compounds, from cells.
This new study from your group focuses on brain ischemia, which is reduced blood flow, which can cause a stroke. How does ischemia affect the blood-brain barrier?
Ischemia induces tight junction breakdown. However, this tight junction breakdown occurs relatively late, and this is too late to be used for the brain delivery of neuroprotective drugs. ABC transporters, on the other hand, are rapidly regulated on the cell surface in a way that impedes drug delivery to the brain. As such, transporters on the luminal membrane of the endothelial cells, namely the transporter ABCB1, as we show, which carries drugs from the brain to blood, are upregulated, whereas transporters on the upluminal membrane, namely ABCC1, which carries drugs in the opposite direction from the blood to brain, are downregulated in response to stroke. These changes in the abundance of ABC transporters have profound effects on the biodistribution of drugs, influencing brain concentrations by up to an order of magnitude.
The luminal membrane is the side of the cell that faces the blood vessel, and the abluminal membrane is the side of the cell that faces the brain.
That is true, exactly. Basically, the biology of these polarized cells is something which has looked at in a very limited number of studies in ischemia at all. And one has to say that these polarity aspects are key aspects of how the cell works, and what we basically want to understand is how such a polarized cell responds to an insult, because we feel that we need to understand this behavior in order to develop intelligent therapies for this disease.
The polarity is important because the one side of the cell faces the brain and the other side of the cell faces the blood. And so that would then control whether compounds are going from the brain out to the blood or from the blood into the brain.
Of course.
You said that prolonged ischemia induces a sort of a breakdown in the junctions between the cells that form the blood-brain barrier. So compounds are allowed to be exchanged between the blood and the brain by diffusion?
Yeah. Actually, this is an opinion which you hear quite often, that the blood-brain barrier breaks down in response to stroke. Nonetheless, this is, of course, a breakdown which you obtain once the injury is relatively severe, as severe to affect the viability of the vessels. And this means that a very severe injury has occurred in these instances, and such conditions are no more useful for stroke therapy. So whenever you have this kind of breakdown, you have a condition which is far advanced already and too far advanced for delivering drugs which ameliorate the survival of the tissue.
And so you mentioned that an early immediate response to ischemia is a change in the abundance of these ABC transporters. How does ischemia change the distribution of those transporters?
In the paper we now publish, we show that the coordinated changes in ABC transporter abundance are regulated by a lipoprotein called apolipoprotein E. Via its receptor, ApoE receptor 2, apolipoprotein E deactivates the JNK1/2 c-Jun pathway that controls ABC transporter transcription. The signal pathway has strong effects on the brain accumulation of drugs, influencing tissue concentrations by more than 5 times. The important point is that we showed that the signal pathway induces coordinated changes in the abundance of sets of transporters on both endothelial membranes. So by manipulating the expression pattern, the abundance of the luminal versus abluminal membrane, we have a novel approach which allows you to much more profoundly influence drug biodistribution processes, as no more a single but a whole set of transporters is targeted. The inhibition of this pathway, the inhibition of ApoE receptor 2, might potentially be used for improving the brain delivery of drugs, of course.
Is the potential clinical application of manipulating this pathway in order to change ABC transporter distribution something that you're following up on?
Yes, we plan to do that. Our idea is now to target this ApoE receptor 2 molecule and thereby to ameliorate the accumulation of model compounds also in patients, thereby trying to find out whether we can indeed enhance the accumulation of neuroprotectants also in the human brain.
It's been known for quite some time that ABC transporters affect the ability of drugs to cross the blood-brain barrier.
Yeah.
But there aren't many, or are there any, clinical protocols currently in use that manipulate these transporters in order to affect the passage of therapeutic drugs from the blood into the brain?
In fact, the pharmaceutical industry put considerable effort in order to develop inhibitors for ABC transporters. Until now, however, the pharmaceutical industry has largely focused on strategies inhibiting single transporters by means of pharmacological inhibitors. As a matter of fact, the ABC transporters we are talking about have overlapping substrate spectra. Therefore, different transporters are capable of replacing each other once you block a single of them. It was therefore not surprising that these compounds were not successful in clinics.
In this study, you specifically looked at two ABC transporters, ABCB1 and ABCC1.
Yeah.
Does this signaling pathway also affect the abundance or the distribution of other ABC transporters?
Well, we have not looked at it yet, but we will for sure do this.
Thank you, Dr. Herman.
I appreciate it a lot discussing with you.
That was Dirk Herman, senior author of a research article published in the October 5th issue of Science Signaling. That article is by Elali and Herman, and it's titled Apolipoprotein E Controls ATP Binding Cassette Transporters in the Ischemic Brain. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.